Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today. Welcome to our first service here at First Colony on the spring break Sunday. Doesn't necessarily feel like it so much outside, but spring break Sunday. And to some of our college kids who may be home this week, very special welcome to you. And as Bridget just said a moment ago, you can sign up for the Telfair Walkathon. I hope you'll do it this morning. You just sign up, pay a registration fee, and those proceeds go to Second Mile Mission Center. You see some photos from a mission trip taken this past week to Honduras, and a number of our men and our church family here were there. We very much appreciate their service, their ministry, and we salute you, welcome you back home today. In our message time today, we're concluding a three-week series we've called Fishtail, from this little four-chapter Old Testament book called Jonah. Only 48 verses in the entire book of Jonah. Jonah is one of the 12 minor prophets. It's an autobiographical book. So Jonah himself's writing the story, and it ends in a fascinating way. We'll see that today. Let's do a very, very quick review. First thing I want to underscore is that we saw that God will often ask you to do some things that you just don't want to do. The Lord said to Jonah, gave this message to Jonah, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Let me just stop there for a moment and say that is so true. The ancient city of Nineveh was known as an incredible place of cruelty. They were known as a brutal people, a violent people. This is not a fun assignment. This Nineveh is not a good place to do ministry, and Jonah does not want to go there. This past week, I received a note from one of my favorite people in the world, Nell Ellis, and I've known Nell for several years, sweet, wonderful woman of God, and she told me in a note, she said that her grandson, when he was younger, and whenever he would be asked to do something he didn't want to do, he would say these words, "I just can't want to." And that's Jonah. Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh. I just can't want to. Well, if you don't want to, you can always, secondly, find a boat going in the opposite direction. And Jonah did. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. Just fun saying that word, and Tarshish is in Spain. Rather than heading northeast to Nineveh, he heads westward to Spain, or so he thinks. But along the way, God sends a storm to get his attention. The Bible says, the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. The sailors on board reluctantly threw Jonah overboard. Why? Because he acknowledged, look, I'm running from God. I am running away from God. I'm the reason that everybody's in peril, and reluctantly they threw him overboard, but the Lord had arranged. Now, you see that little word arranged? You're going to see that word a couple of times today. The Lord is in charge of so many things, and the Lord arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights, and last week we saw that when he was there, when the wheels had come off in Jonah's life, he turned back to God, which is a credit to Jonah, but listen, it's a greater credit to the Lord that he said, you can do that. And when you're swallowed up and covered in fish guts, Jonah turned back to God, and God said, okay, and he heard him. And Jonah 2, verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And that's where we left Jonah last week, covered in fish vomit. And we'll pick it up there today. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Aren't you thankful that our God is a God of second chances? And he spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and deliver the message I've given you. And this time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command. Now, what you need to do is just in your mind, give Jonah a hand. This is the first time in the entire book where he obeys the Lord. He's a prophet. This is the first time in the entire... Now, here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is, be the kind of person that when the Lord says... When the Lord's getting your attention, Be the kind of person where you say, Lord, you speak, I'll do it. Whatever it is you're asking me to do, I'll do it immediately. I'll do it with a good spirit. You want me to give, I'll give. You want me to speak up, I'll speak up. You want me to use my spiritual gifts, I'll use my spiritual gifts. You want me to come to church, I'll be at church. I'll be there, I'll be a part. Whatever you ask me to do, I'm not going to be grudging. You say the word, I am there. And this time, for the first time in the entire book, Jonah does what the Lord asks him to do. So he goes to Nineveh, a city so great, it takes 3 days to see it all. And on the fourth day, or on the day, fourth verse, on the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Nineveh's a wicked place. They party like wicked people. They dress like wicked people. They talk like wicked people. They behave like wicked people. And Jonah shouts above the crowd, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The clock is ticking. You've got 40 days to either change your life or experience severe consequences from the Lord. And the people of Nineveh believed. They believed God's message from the greatest to the least. They declared a fast. They put on burlap to show their sorrow. I mean, get this now. Jonah sort of, in a half-baked way, going through the motions here, and Nineveh's repenting. And they put on burlap. Why burlap? It's simply a covering, an abrasive covering that was worn in public to display repentance. Their hearts get broken. Their eyes are filled with tears. They're saying, God, whatever we need to do. May I pause for a moment and ask as an aside, when was the last time you sensed conviction from God? And you acted on it? Or have you gotten so good at trying to stiff arm conviction from God? You don't want to get good at that. Even the king is repenting. And when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes, he dresses himself in burlap, he sits on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city, no one, not even your animals, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Remember I said earlier that Nineveh was known as a brutal place? Stop all your violence. And who can tell? Maybe God, perhaps even yet, God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. And when God saw, verse 10, when God saw that in Nineveh, from the greatest to the least, even the animals, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Praise God! The love of God wins. The grace of God's carrying the day. You know, when sin wins, everybody loses. And there's always a competition going on between sin and grace. It's happening in your family. It'll always happen in a church. It's happening in this community. Always a battle between sin and grace. When sin wins, everybody loses. And when grace wins, everybody is blessed. And in Nineveh, enough people are repenting that the entire city is blessed. And so what's Jonah's reaction? I mean, you'd think Jonah would be going, hey, I need to write a book. God has used me in a way that I've never experienced before. I've never had this kind of reaction to my preaching. Not even in Jerusalem. This is incredible. This wicked Assyrian city and all the people are repenting and turning to the Lord. I've never been used like this before. So you would think Jonah would be giddy. Nope. Chapter 4, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah. And he became very angry. He looks at Nineveh repenting, being forgiven by God, and it grates all over him. It's the spiritual fingernails on the chalkboard. What's great to God? What's great to God? Nineveh repenting, God able to show his grace and mercy, it is despicable to Jonah. I mean, now, don't get me wrong, Jonah loves grace. As long as it's for him. He's a fan of grace. Remember in the fish? Oh, God, I'm desperate. Show your kindness to me. Jonah's a fan of grace. As long as he can control it. You know, you start reading the book of Jonah, and you start to think at the outset, uh-oh, God's big problem is how in the world can he get through to the hearts of the Ninevites? But you come to chapter 4 and you realize, uh-oh, how in the world can God get through to the heart of his own prophet Jonah? So for the second time in the book, Jonah prays, and this is an incredible prayer. So he complained to the Lord. Didn't I say before I left home that you'd do this, Lord? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Let me say that again. You would think that's a compliment. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. So just kill me now. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Jonah is living in the middle of the great contradiction. What's the great contradiction? He loves grace and he hates grace. He loves grace for himself. He loves grace for Israel. He just doesn't. He'd rather be dead than have to sit next to a Ninevite in church next Sunday. So what does Jonah do? He does what we all do. I do this. We all do this. We all try to put the best possible spin on us and the worst possible spin on other people. That's what Jonah's doing. Well, God, I knew, reason I ran to Tarshish is that I knew you'd be too soft. I knew you'd be too soft. I am the great champion of justice. And there I went into Nineveh. And I'm telling them the truth, 40 days and you're going to be destroyed. You better shape up, or in 40 days from now, it's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah time for you. And you know what? I'm going to look like a liar, and God, you're going to look like... I knew you'd be too soft. Yes, you're hearing me correctly. Jonah is impugning the character of God. God, you're not keeping your word. You said you were going to blast Jonah. You said you were going to blast Nineveh. You're not going to blast Nineveh. And so the Lord says, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this? He's saying, Jonah, I want you to do a little decision analysis. Everybody makes decisions. You got to decide which values are important, which values are more important, which values are most important. You need to do some decision analysis here. Do you have any right to be angry about this? And Jonah, he doesn't answer. He gives God the silent treatment. And so then Jonah goes out, verse 5. He goes out to the east side of the city, and he made a shelter to sit under as he waits to see what would happen to the city. Can't you see him out there with his Diet Coke and his straw? Rooting for Nineveh to be destroyed. Hoping against hope that Nineveh will be destroyed and God will not show them mercy. Give them what's coming to them. And the Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. And this eased his discomfort. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Isn't that nice? A nice little cabana's grown up over Jonah. He's relaxing. He's comfortable. It's all about Jonah. He's comfortable now. He's happy. Things are good. Verse 7. But the Lord arranged. See that word, arranged? Remember how the Lord arranged for the great fish? And now he arranges. He arranges for the plant. Now he arranges a worm. And the next morning at dawn, the worm eats through the stem of the plant so that it withers away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranges for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. And the sun beat down on his head until he grows faint and he wishes to die. Death is better than living like this, he exclaims. And then God says to Jonah, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? And Jonah says, yes, even angry enough to die. Now, does Jonah seem just a little immature to you? Maybe just a little. Does Jonah seem just a little like a man-child? You know, he's a man, but he's acting very childish. Let's take a little timeout break here. I'm going to show you a little movie clip. I think it's funny. It's the scene of a grown man, and his emotions are a little out of kilter. And as you watch this, just sort of imagine Jonah. Okay, here we go. Let's show this clip. Well, maybe not. That just really ticks me off. That's okay. Really, we'll come to it later. So Jonah pouts, and there is a reason that theologians have called Jonah for years the pouting prophet. In fact, did you read in the paper just a couple of weeks ago about the lady in Florida, 27-year-old Fort Pierce resident Latresa Goodman, who went through a McDonald's drive-thru. She had ordered chicken McNuggets, 10-piece chicken McNuggets. They were out. She became irate, called 911. The police arrested her for misuse of calling 911, but she said this was an emergency. No chicken McNuggets, this is an emergency. And Jonah's over here going, my plant died. And God's saying, Jonah, you couldn't care less about 120,000 people in Nineveh. But boy, I tell you what, you sure get juiced about your little plant, don't you? What gets you angry? What raises your emotional level? What do you care about? What moves your heart? It's a funny thing, isn't it? Jonah receives grace when he hit bottom, and now he's offended by grace when it goes to somebody else. And I like to think, oh, I'm not like that. I'm so like that. If I'm driving and I see some car barely make it through the intersection, I think, boy, I wish there were a cop around to get that guy, to show, you know. And if I barely make it through, I'm thinking, boy, show me grace, show me grace, show me grace. I mean, none of us can sit here and go and point. We're all like Nineveh. We all have a tendency to be like Jonah. And how many times do I forget what Jonah forgot? and I wish I had a more profound way of saying this, I don't, but that all people are precious to God, all of them. The man who cannot afford a car is precious to God, and the man who can afford virtually any kind of car he wants is precious to God. They both count. They both get God's heart racing. The woman who watches every penny and clips all the coupons, and the woman who doesn't have to coupon cut or penny pinch, they're both precious to God. And the person who's been exposed to the Scriptures since their infancy, and that person who is gray-headed and just now reading the Bible for the first time, they are both precious to God. And God looks at all of those people. He looks at you, He looks at me, and He says, I love you as much as I have ever loved anyone. And when one of us, when one Jonah, when one person in Nineveh is separated from God, it breaks his heart. It keeps him up nights. As long as there's one coin, one sheep, one boy away, God will not rest. And that's why Jesus says, you send me, I'm going. I'll go to the cross. I'll go to Sugar Land. I'll go to Nineveh. And he did, and Jesus hung on the cross for our sins. He paid our debt. And just like we've been saying, God was up to something wonderful in this book of Jonah. My friend, on the cross, God was up to something wonderful. He made peace possible for you and me. He reconciles us to God. And there on the cross, Jesus overcame our debt by the power of his sacrificial love. And you know what they did when he died? Some people just said, bury that body. We're done with that. Oh, no. Just like God spoke to that fish deep in the sea with Jonah, he spoke to that stone. It rolled away. Jesus rose from the dead. He started his church, and now here we are. But Jonah's mad. Now, you need to know that Jonah had a very personal faith. Very personal. The title of this sermon is like when faith is too personal. I want you to hear me clearly. Jonah was a man of God. God spoke to Jonah. Jonah served God. Jonah had a faith that was real and vibrant and personal. In fact, it was too personal. It was so personal, it had become almost private. It was so personal, it had become caked with self-interest. And Jonah could get real upset when his personal cabana died. But he didn't really care about 120,000 people living in Nineveh who did not know their right hand from their left spiritually. And then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Don't you love that? God loves animals. He loves cows and he loves horses and he loves dogs. He does not love cats, but he does love dogs. And he does love cows, and he does love horses, and he loves all those people living in Nineveh, and he loves all of you and all the people living in Sugar Land. And he says, Jonah, shouldn't I feel sorrow for this city? Okay, that's the end of the book of Jonah. That can't be the end of the book of Jonah. You can't end a book with a question. Sure you can. What do you think Jonah said next? Here's what I hope he said. I hope he said something like, oh, Lord, you're right. I should feel something in my heart for people outside of me. I should. Lord, I have been small-hearted. I have been smug. I have been resentful. I have been less than gracious. Forgive me. Make me a vessel of grace. Lord, I want a tender heart like yours. I hope he said that. Why is the book open-ended? Here's why. God's not just trying to break through into Nineveh. God's trying to break through into Jonah. And God's trying to break through into Ronnie. And the book ends open-ended like this, so I'll ask myself, what would I do? What would I say? Do I care? Do I have a heart like God that is, what did Jonah say? Oh, I knew that you are merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. Do I have that kind of heart? Do I want that kind of heart? Well, there it is. So I would close and ask you this. Is there some area in your life where maybe now you've been running from God? If so, I hope you will listen afresh to God's call, to God's promptings. You will listen to the clear teachings of Scripture, that we will seek forgiveness. If we've been running from God, we will turn back to Him, and we will say, God, I want your heart, and I want to be your instrument. Okay. Book ends that way because it's not just Jonah's story, it's your story. You answer it, and I have to answer it for me. Okay, let's stand, please, for our closing prayer and our closing song. If when this service is over, you would like to visit with someone about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please come down front. I know that later this morning, we do have some baptisms that will be taking place, and perhaps this is the day when you're ready to take that step or whatever your next step may be. We would be happy to talk with you and assist you in that regard. Okay, let's humble ourselves and pray to the Lord. Lord God, as your people, we repent of anything that would break your heart. And Lord, we ask that you would give us a fire and a passion to be Jesus in this world, to love recklessly, to give generously, to have gracious, generous spirits. God, have mercy on us. And if there is anything that we're holding on to that we need to let go of so that you can do what you want to do in us, may we release it today. Maybe we're holding on to some relationship that we know is not your will. We want to let go of anything that's keeping us from following you fully. Leave it behind and move full speed ahead. Lord, give us, there are a lot of people in this room that are, they've got some power like the king of Nineveh. But just like the king of Nineveh was willing to humble himself, may we all have that same spirit. And I do pray for our personal faith, that indeed it will be personal but not private, not self-absorbed, but you'll give us such a deep fire inside of us that we will seek to influence our corner of the world with the kindness of Jesus Christ. We know that there are people right here in Sugar Land who, spiritually speaking, are living in darkness. They don't know their right hand from their left. We pray for them. We pray that you will be merciful and that you will give them at least 40 more days to come to know you. And we praise you, O God, that just like you gave Jonah chance after chance and you were so merciful with him, we praise you that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, and you'll keep using us to your honor and to your credit. That's our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.